We have a good number present this evening. Appreciate the presence of everyone. Hope you've got your Bible with you and eager to study with us. Let's begin by looking at Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, and introduce a concept with which we are all familiar. And we'll see this from several passages, and then we'll build our lesson from that. Philippians 3, verse 20, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself." Look at this phrase that begins the text, that our citizenship is in heaven. Here's what I learned from that. I learned this world is not home, but heaven is our home. Simple point. Very profound point, but it's a very simple point, that this is not home. Our citizenship is in heaven. Let's turn to another text, Genesis 47 and verse 9. Jacob said this to Pharaoh. He said, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Now you think about that. The 130 years of which he refers, he referred to as his pilgrimage. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. He goes further to say, "And few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the day of their pilgrimage." He refers to his own life and the life of those who went before him as a pilgrimage. And here's what I learned from that. I'm learning this world is not home, but heaven is home. Let's go to another text, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 6, "We're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord." Here's what the Apostle Paul is saying. As long as we're living here in this world, we are not at home. See the concept? So let's talk about this world is not my home. Three things we want to focus on in our study tonight. This world is not my home. And what I'm trying to do in the study is just build a concept that if we walk away with a concept we already know, but we're refreshing a concept in our mind that this world is temporary, this is not home, our home is in heaven, then our time is well spent. So let's begin with it. Here's the first thing we want to talk about. Let's come to an understanding that we are sojourners. Now, we've seen that from these three texts that we just talked about, but we are sojourners. These texts tell us that indeed we are pilgrims or we're sojourners. Now, what does that mean then to us? Well, here's first of all what it means. That means that we are temporary residents. That if you are a pilgrim, if you are a sojourner, as these texts that just mentioned say, then that means that we are temporary residents is what we are. Now let's open our Bibles, and I want just kind of a word study, not exactly, but we're looking at certain words or looking for a particular word in several texts. So let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 1, that Peter mentions us as being pilgrims. He does this repeatedly in 1 Peter, but notice in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion. Notice he refers to those to whom he writes as the pilgrims. That's what we are. We're pilgrims. The footnote in the New King James will say sojourners. We're sojourners is what we are. Same chapter. Let's go to verse 17. Verse 17 said, "If you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout your time of your sojourning in fear." The chapter's about walking in the fear of God or walking holy as God is holy or living holy as God is holy. That's the thrust and the point of the book and this chapter. But he says that you're to be holy while you pass your sojourning here in fear. While you're here temporarily, make sure that you're walking holy before God. That's the point that he's making. So we are temporary residents. Same book, let's go to the next chapter, chapter 2, and in verse 11 again, he says, we're sojourners and pilgrims. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Now, we'll come to this a little bit later, but you're just merely passing through, so don't get attached to this world. You're pilgrims and you're sojourners, so don't let the lust of the world get to you. So the point is that we're strangers and we're aliens to the world. We're just temporary residents while we're here. No matter how long you live, we're just passing through. We're sojourners. So what does it mean that we're sojourners? Well, it means we're temporary residents, but it also suggests to us that we live in enemy-occupied territory. We're passing through enemy-occupied territory. We are, in a sense, refugees is what we are. We're alien to what might be around us. In other words, it's like we're from a foreign country and we're alien and foreign to everything that is around us. Now let's get this principle from 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 3, here's the point I want you to see. Let's get the point and then we'll go to the text and see if that's what the text says. 1 John 2, beginning at verse 3, that the pressures, here's what we're looking for, the pressures of the world are contrary to the standard by which we live. You see, we're pilgrims, we're sojourners, we're just passing through, and we have a standard by which we live, and the pressures around us are contrary to that. So let's notice beginning at verse 3. Now, by this know that we know him if we keep his commandments. There's the standard by which we live. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, and by this we know we are in him. Verse 6, and he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So we have a standard to walk by the commandment of God and follow the example, verse 6, of Christ. Now let's drop over to verse 15. Verse 15 said, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. And notice at verse 16, he talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You see, those pressures are contrary to the standard that we saw in verses 3, 4, 5, and 6. We are pilgrims passing through. That means that we're estranged to the world that is around us. 1 Peter chapter 4, where we were just a moment ago. Let's go over chapter 2 to chapter 4 now, and in verse 4, that they think it's strange. In regard to this, they think it's strange that you do not run with them to the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. In other words, they think you're strange because you don't do like they do, that you don't conform to the pressures that are around you. And so we indeed are strangers. We are sojourners. We're temporary residents. We live in enemy-occupied territory. Now let's look at some examples of God's people who were sojourners. And I'm just looking for that concept that they're merely in a land, sojourning literally in the land in which they were not born or where they were not raised. Let's take the case of Abraham. First of all, let's go to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. We're not going to read every word of every verse. I'm just looking for a concept. And notice in case of Abraham, Genesis chapter 11, verse 31, we read about his father Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, the daughter-in-law Sarai, and his son Abram's wife, and they went out from the land of the Ur of the Chaldees. That's all I want you to see from chapter 11. They left their homeland and they went somewhere else. Chapter 12 now, beginning at verse 1, God told Abram that I get out of a country from your kindred and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. So from this point on, he's a sojourner, and he's merely passing through and traveling through a different land. Now let's go over to the New Testament, see the same concept. I'm just trying to drive home the principle. Abraham was a sojourner. He's passing through lands. He's living in lands that wasn't his native country. Chapter 7, verse 2 through 7, in retelling the story of Abraham, that the text says, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. And he said, get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. And he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there he went, when his father died or was dead, he moved to a land that in which you now dwell. So he left his land, went to another land, stayed there for a little while. Then he went to the land of Canaan. He was a sojourner. That's all we're trying to see. Well, I'm not going to turn at this moment to Hebrews chapter 11, but we see the same point about Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11, that he was a sojourner in a foreign land. Let's notice another example. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 29. Jacob was a sojourner. just to get again the concept, that's the concept we're looking for, is that he was a sojourner and he was a stranger in a different land. You remember how that Jacob went to in chapter 29 in verse 1, Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. And that's where he met his wife, and he was in the land, in the household of Laban. And he spent many years there working for him that he might have a wife from him. Now notice in chapter 31 now, he's in a strange land and he's in a foreign country. Chapter 31 and in verse 30, Laban said to him, "And now you are surely gone because you greatly long for your father's house." And that was the charge he's making concerning him. I know you want to go back to your father's house. You're in a strange land. You're a sojourner, and indeed you are a pilgrim. Now notice in chapter 31, verse 38 beginning, that he spent 20 years there. That's all I want you to see, that he spent 20 years there and that he was in a foreign land. We see the same thing in chapter 35 and in verse 27. Chapter 35 and in verse 27, that Jacob came to his father Isaac at Mamre, that is at Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had sojourned. Here's our term, the idea of sojourning, or they're traveling in a foreign land. Well, here's Egypt, or Israel, in the land of Egypt. Let's go to Genesis chapter 15. The children of Israel went off into the land of Egypt in Egyptian bondage. Notice chapter 15 of the book of Genesis, verses 13 and 14. The text says that he said to Abraham, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers." This is a prophecy concerning Egyptian bondage. "That they will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they came out with great possessions." They're going to go to a land, a different land, a strange land, and they're going to be strangers and servants in a strange land. They're sojourners in a foreign land. Let's go to the 137th Psalm for one more example before we move on. Psalm 137, Israel in Babylon, by the river of Babylon. Let's read verses 1 to 6 and see the picture of being a stranger in a foreign land. That's what they were when they were in Babylonian captivity. They are sojourning there in a foreign land. "By the river of Babylon we sat down, yea, we wept. We remember Zion, we hung our hearts upon the willows in the midst of it. Verse 3, for those who carried us away captive required of us a song. And those who plundered us required of us mirth, saying, sing to us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land?" You see, we're not at home. We're in a foreign land. "I forgot you, O Jerusalem. Let my right hand forget her skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy." Well, that's enough to make the point that they are in a foreign land, and they are thinking back about Jerusalem, where they consider home. We're in strangers in a foreign land. We're merely sojourning. So what have we seen so far? That we're understanding that we're sojourners. We're temporary residents here on earth. We live in enemy-occupied territory. And here are some examples of people who sojourned, and that's exactly what we're doing. Here's the second of three points that we're going to consider. And that is, we need to come to a remembering that this world is not home. This world is not our home. While we are sojourners, this world is not our home. There is a danger in accommodation to this world. What do we mean by accommodation? The word accommodate means to make fit or suitable, to acclimate or to adjust. Would you consider yourself as accommodating to the world, acclimating to the world, making yourself fit and suitable to the world? It can also mean to reconcile opposing views, to compromise. Well, let's consider Romans chapter 12. We can't afford to do that. In other words, if we settle down here in this world and we've acclimated ourselves to this world, we've accommodated, meaning we've made ourselves fit to this world, we've made ourselves adjust to the world, we've made compromises, we've reconciled opposing views, we had a standard by which we live, the pressures we've reconciled with, and we've kind of harmonized all of that. We can't afford to do that. Let's turn to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. By the way, Romans 12 begins a new section of Romans that talks about relationships and starts on our relationship with God and our relationship with the world. that we must separate from the world and have a relationship with God. Let's watch for that in verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't accommodate to the world. Don't acclimate to the world. Don't adjust to the world. Don't reconcile and compromise with the world. Read again verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, be different, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. You see, this world is not our home. There's a danger of accommodating to the world. Furthermore, we don't avoid danger by blending in with our surroundings. We think we can avoid a problem. There seems to be a conflict. Here's the standard by which we live, and here's what the world is trying to get us to do. But if I just kind of blend in, then I avoid some danger. That might work for the chameleon, but it doesn't work for us. In fact, we're in greater danger if we begin blending in with the world. If I begin to blend in so that I am not detected as being different, we're in greater danger. Let's go and turn to the book of James, chapter 4. James chapter 4, and in verse 4, James addresses the problem of friendship with the world. And verse 4 would seem to be a key to the entire chapter, summarizing the entire chapter. He talks about a number of things that are evil. And all of that could be labeled as being a friend of the world. But notice it, verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity against God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. There's your danger. You see, if I begin to acclimate to the point that I begin to blend in so that I'm like that chameleon where I'm beginning to be undetected and I look just like everybody else in the world and I act like everybody else and I dress like everybody else and I talk like everybody else, then consequently, I become an enemy of God. Let's turn to another passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 17. Paul talks about his ministry and the demands of his ministry, and it demands to be separate and apart from the world. Let's begin at verse 17. Well, let's back up to verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with the unbelievers. In other words, don't pull in the same load of sin. In other words, don't blend in doing the same thing they do. And then he raises the question, what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what accord does Christ with Satan, and what part does the believer have with an unbeliever? Now drop down to verse 17. Therefore come out from among them and be ye separate. Don't blend in with the world, but be separate from the world. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you'll be a son and daughter, says the Lord God Almighty. Now verse 1 of chapter 7. Therefore, having this promise, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. In other words, we do not avoid danger by blending in. We must live completely separate from the world. I want to suggest to you that we're in trouble if we ever settle down in the world and get used to the world. What do we mean by that? If we ever reach the point we're not bothered by ungodliness. In other words, we see the sin around us. We see the world is different than the standard we know, but we get used to that. And we get accustomed to that. And we've settled down in that. Then we indeed are in trouble. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. You remember Paul when he came to preach the gospel in Athens, that the text says in Acts chapter 17, when he got there, to Athens, that he waited for them at Athens, and his spirit was provoked within him when he saw the city was given over to idols. In other words, he didn't look around and say, well, you know, this city is given to idols, but I'm used to idols. I've seen idols. I've been around idols all my life, and what's the big deal about having idols? That while he was sitting waiting for brethren to come and meet him, the text says that his spirit was provoked within him. He was bothered. He was disturbed by the world around him. He's not settling in. He's not getting used to it at all. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. You remember Lot, that he set and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Finally, he's later setting in the gate of Sodom. Finally, he got his belly full of Sodom. And the text says in chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, that God delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed with the filthy conduct of the wicked. Now notice verse 8. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day, seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. The longer he sat there, the sicker he got looking at the sin around him. He was sick and tired of the sin. Here's the point I'm trying to make, and that is we never should reach the point that we're not bothered by that. That when we see homosexuality, that doesn't bother us. When we see adultery, that doesn't bother us. And we see lying, and it doesn't bother us, and drunkenness, and it doesn't bother us. It doesn't disturb us. Now let's go to the book of Hebrews, if you will, chapter 2. And I want to take a couple of texts to establish this point, and that is, here's the danger. We can gradually get used to the world. What do I mean by that? That over time, the being in association with sin, it can gradually wash away and erode away some of our principles so that we're not bothered by the world. Now look at Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 1. This is how apostasy develops. Here's how departure develops. It happens very slowly and very gradually. Notice verse 1. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. All right, stop there. We're going to finish that. Give the more earnest heed to the things you know to be the truth. Give the more earnest heed to the revelation of God. Why? Lest we drift away. Drifting suggests a slow departure from that. A gradual departure from that. One translation would say, run out as a leaking vessel. The footnote in the King James. That here is something that goes very gradually and very slowly. So I might be introduced to sin and I see it, and the more I'm around it, the more I see it, the more I begin to tolerate it, that I finally get used to that sin and it doesn't bother me anymore. You recognize that perhaps in yourself and what we tolerate on television. There are things that, if we'd stop and admit it, we're watching and we're seeing and not bothered by, that maybe 15 years ago or 20 years ago we would have turned the television off, because gradually we've got used to that. We're settling in and getting accustomed to the world. Let's go to another passage, this time to 106, Psalm 106. That Israel of old, they got used to the pagan ways. Let's go to Psalm 106. We've looked at this passage many times. This is a powerful text. Talking about their gradual departure. That you didn't have in Israel of old, you didn't have them going into the pagan society and all of a sudden deciding, you know what, I like what you're doing and I like seeing children sacrificed to idols. We'd like to sacrifice our children to those idols. That didn't happen overnight. How did it happen? Let's see, beginning at verse 34. They did not destroy the people concerning whom the Lord had commanded them. In other words, they didn't separate themselves from the world like God had told them. Well, that goes on for some time where they're not separating themselves from the world and they associate with the world. What's the danger of that? Well, let's see if they get accustomed and settling in. But, verse 35, they mingled with the Gentiles. They wouldn't have ever mingled had they separated from the world. They're mingling with them. They're getting more comfortable with them. They're getting to know the Gentiles. They're getting to know the ways of the Gentiles. We're not through. We're not through. Look at verse 35. They mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They didn't learn their works immediately, but they didn't separate, and that led them to mingling with the Gentiles, which led them to learning their ways over time. We're not through. We're not through. Let's go back to verse 36. They served their idols. That didn't start out serving idols. Where in the world did they ever get the idea of bowing down before an idol? Because they're mingling and learning the ways. See, gradually over time, what they're doing is they're settling down and getting used to the pagan world around them. You know, they see people bowing down before idols. They get used to that. They ask questions and they learn about this idol, the kind of idol it is and what the idol is supposed to do. And they bow down now before that. We're not through. We're not through. Go back to verse 37. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. How'd they ever reach that point? Gradually mingling with the Gentiles, mingling with the pagans, learning their ways, then doing what they do, and then even going as far as the Gentiles went. Here's the warning. We can gradually get used to the world. Now, how do we keep from adjusting to the world? How can I keep that from happening? Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. We need to be guarded and careful concerning our attitude toward the world. Let's just cite one passage along that line and make that point. Colossians chapter 3. If you therefore are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above and not on the things of the earth. Or keep your mind focused on heaven where your home is and not here, because this is not your home. So how can I keep from adjusting to the world? I need to be careful of the attitude I have about this world and about heaven. Set my affections on things that are above. Here's the second thing I can do. I can not only be careful of my attitude, but be careful of my treasures. We alluded to this principle in Matthew chapter 6 this morning. So let's go to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. And notice what Jesus said. And he warned about materialism here. Notice beginning at verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Don't give emphasis to this life, but to the life beyond, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now notice verse 21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, if your treasure is in spiritual things, you have your mind focused toward home, which is heaven. But if we have our treasures here on earth, that's where our focus is and that's where our heart is. Where's your heart? Is it on this life or is it on heaven? Here's a third thing. Careful of our attitude, careful of our treasures, but be careful of our friendships. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupts good morals, the text says. Evil communications corrupts good morals. And we saw that in Psalm 106, didn't we? In Psalm 106, because they associated and mingled with him, they learned their ways, and now they're doing the very same thing. Now, I have one more point we want to look at, but let's pause for a moment, and Kevin's going to lead us in the song, This World Is Not My Home, to get that concept before us. Come, Kevin, and lead us in that song.
No, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know he'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Thirdly, let's talk about remembering that heaven is our home. We've tried to come to an understanding the world is not our home, but heaven is our home. Let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter 23, and in verse 9. This is an interesting phrase that's used here in Exodus 23. Exodus 23 deals with laws concerning justice and the Sabbath and annual feast, etc., those kinds of things. But what I want you to notice is that verse 9, you shall not oppress a stranger. If there's a stranger in the land, don't oppress them. For you know the heart of a stranger, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. The Holman Christian Standard Bible translates that, you must not oppress a foreign resident. You yourselves know how it feels to be a foreigner because you were foreigners in the land of Egypt. I like that. The heart of a stranger. The heart of a foreigner. You know what it's like. You've been there, so you treat others that way is the point. Now here's the point we're learning from that. We need to strive to have the heart of a stranger. And that is to know and understand what it's like to be a foreigner, because that's what we are. We're foreigners in this world. Now that means this is not our home. And we need to be striving to have that heart of a stranger. I'm a stranger. I'm a foreigner. I'm just passing through. I'm a sojourner. I'm a pilgrim, an alien. Back to Philippians 3 and in verse 20. We started on that verse. The very verse we started with. The text says, our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's like being a foreigner in a foreign land. And here you are, the stranger there, when you go there and they ask, where are you from? Well, you don't say, this is where I live. You say, I'm from America. That's my home. Heaven is our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. And because we're away from home, we must live by faith. Now, here's a passage we paid attention to a little bit earlier. But I want us to go back and look at that a little closer in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As you're turning there, let me remind you that chapter 5 is that chapter where Paul basically is telling us, this is what makes me do what I do. This is why I live like I live. This is why I behave like I behave. This is why I go through the things I go through. This is why I endure what I endure. This is what makes me tick. I'm trying to please God, verse 9. But prior to that, he said it, verse 6. Therefore, we're always confident knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Now let me paraphrase verse 6. What he said at verse 6 was, this is not our home. Heaven is our home. Therefore what, Paul? We walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, we walk by faith. What do you mean you walk by faith? We're like those that are born to sojourning parents. We've never seen our homeland. We've only heard about it. Imagine parents that go off to a foreign country from America and their children are born and raised there and their children are now young adults and all they've ever heard of was America, but they've never seen it. And all they know about is what they've been told. Never been there. We haven't been to heaven, but all we know about is what we've been told. We walk by faith. Hebrews 13 and in verse 14 says, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. In other words, this is not it. This is not our abiding place. This is not where we stay forever. We're seeking an abiding city. We're seeking something more permanent. We're just passing through. And in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, we're all familiar with the text, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. In other words, if I live here, I'm serving Christ, but it'd be even better if I died and went away. I'm headed home. I'm headed home. That was his point. Now let's talk in closing about maintaining the heart of a stranger. How do I go about maintaining the heart of a stranger? We need to read and study about our home. Now picture yourself as being born in a foreign land and you've been told about your homeland and you want to go there someday. You want to go there. You've never been. You'd be spending time reading everything you could. You'd get on the internet and search about your homeland. What's it like? What's it like going to be? What's it going to be like when I get there? What's been said about that? Those who've been there, what have they said about it? What did God say about it? What did the Lord say about it? What did the Holy Spirit say about that? If we want to maintain a heart of a sojourner, we need to be reading and studying about our home. We need to meditate about heaven. Think about it. I don't mean just have a sermon on that or have a Bible class on that, but we need to reflect on heaven. What's it going to be like about going there, that being our home? We need to talk about heaven. And we need to sing about heaven as we've been singing this very night. This world is not my home. May we ever be impressed with the fact that we are sojourners. And this world is not my home, but our home and our citizenship is in heaven. That's a concept we've been driving at. And if we get that concept before our mind, this is not permanent. That changes our ways. That changes our life. That changes our attitude. That changes how we react. When this life is not permanent, but we're seeking one to come. There may be one or more present this evening who's not a Christian, who's not a child of God. Would you come believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Would you repent of your sins, acknowledge your faith, and be buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins? If you're subject in any way, would you come while we stand and while we sing?